I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't. And this time, it's legal.
All right, Lunger. Let's do it.
Say when.
Come on.
Oh, Johnny.
Come on.
You're no Daisy at all.
Poor soul. You were just too high strung.
Go a little bit of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I love those Italian westerns. They were some of the best they ever made. You know, Once Upon a Time in the West, and all those Clint Eastwood movies. They still hold up as being probably the best westerns ever made. Yeah, Terrible Tommy here, and it is October the 24th, 2014, and it's Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker here. And so we're coming up on the weekend, Saturn's Day. But first we got to get to Freya's Day. Right here by Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station and the world famous weapons of mass destruction. I mean, really badass stuff. Yeah. Used equipment yard. And man, we get them almost new. Hell, a lot of them haven't even been used once. You know, the U.S. military, military industrial complex, they don't give a shit about costs. They just ship them over there and they may not use them at all. Just leave them set there for our buddy ISIS to get a hold of them. No shit. That's funny, the way ISIS is picking up all this stuff. In fact, we're even shipping food over there, supposedly, to go to our allies, and IS is picking it up. What fools we U.S. citizens be. And now what fools you Canadians can be. Crying and saying, oh, we're a peaceful country, man. Why would anybody want to shoot one of our soldiers in front of... Not City Hall, but whatever the hell it was. See, why would they want to do that? We're peaceful. We're yeah, right. Well, remember remember the Bush crime family and Cheney and looking for foreign help. Well, Canada was right there, even shipping troops over there to Iraq, all over the place. But people lose total contact. If you're not being forced into fighting a war, if you're not being drafted, you really don't know anything about the war, even if they send you pictures of the war. It's just pictures. American people are used to seeing pictures. So they're totally separated psychologically and so forth from the war. And so then when things like this happen, the dumbasses sit there and wring their hands and say, well, I wonder why they'd do that. I wonder why they would come over here and do that. I wonder why someone who has become a devotee of the Islam situation, why would they do that? Well, it's very simple. We're over there. I'm not. You're not. They're over there. U.S., Canada, all of them, blowing the shit out of everybody. Blowing, you know, like Iraq is so totally screwed that it'll probably take 50 years for them to come back, if they ever come back at all, because it's broken up into little pieces. Yeah, and he even carried away all the historical items from the museum. A lot of that stuff is connected to ancient Aryanism and like that. So that was the Jewish part of it. Let's destroy their whole culture. Just like the Old Testament. Yeah. We got to get those Philistines. We got to smash them, kill them all, rape their women, and then kill the women. We got to kill all the animals, and then we got to put salt in the ground and destroy the earth. Well, that's the same thing that happened in the Old Testament, the loving Jews, and it's happening again. They don't want to just have a little war and go home. They want to absolutely destroy everything. And they've got the horror of the U.S. doing their bidding. Now they got it made on all sides. They don't have to do much. They just sit over there in Israel and say, right on, Uncle Sam. Kick their ass. Get those Philistines. Destroy everything, man. And don't ever let it come back. Destroy their universities. Destroy their museums. Yeah, man. So we can continue to be the number one whore here in Israel and run the whole show. Well, how about that? We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations. If you don't have your donation in for this month, the month of October, you better you better get at it. Usually we cut you off after the 15th, but I'm so soft-hearted, terrible Tommy, that I let it slide, but I don't let it slide forever. You know, I was listening to a black radio program this morning, and I do get quite a bit of information. You can go run and tell the right wing, that Mexican's listening to the niggas, man. But a lot of the same things that are our problem is their problem, too, you see. Now, a lot of people say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, they're talking about this movie, and I didn't write the name down, about the CIA bringing all the drugs into the ghetto and other places. One thing to remember is there's more white people dying from those CIA drugs than black people. And because a tremendous amount of people, white people, go down to the ghetto to buy their drugs. Well, they were talking about that all morning this morning, and there's a lot of good information. I knew most of it. I mean, I knew what a rat that Oliver Asshole North was. It should be, you know, he's been indicted in Costa Rica. He can't go near Costa Rica. You know, that's what one thing we got to do. We got every one of these countries, one at a time, putting out warrants on these bastards. Sooner or later, they're going to make a mistake and step across the line. But anyhow, we were involved in that too. Oh, you didn't know that. Oh, VNN didn't tell you about that. All these right-wing guys didn't tell you about that. Well, that's because the right-wing racial struggle has not been in the struggle at all very much. Except the guys who were right-wing and decided to get out of the right-wing and go lone wolf or use some other tactics. We had men down there at MENA Airport. That's in Arizona. That's in Arkansas. Spotting, laying in the bushes for hours, watching those CIA planes in. We knew all about it before everybody got all excited about it. And the blacks. Well, we knew about it. Nobody listened to us, even if we wanted to get the information out, you know. They don't want people like us that are doing work in the trenches on TV or radio, because they could play around with the Klan and the right wing all they want and get nowhere. You know, that keeps them all occupied. But when somebody gets the dope like we had on the Watts riots, knowing exactly what was going to happen and on almost the exact day it was going to happen through our Minutemen contacts and the black nationalists. Yeah, how many of these so-called big-shot right-wing racists have gone into that stuff or were involved? None of them were involved in that. Tommy was, and Tommy knows what was going on and what was going to happen. We lost a man in the MENA operation, Richard Snell. And you'll read about how he went crazy and went in and shot up a alleged Jew pawnbroker who wasn't Jewish at all, and they tried to make fun of Snell. And how he got stopped by an Arkansas Highway Patrolman, a black one, and he blew him away. And did the right wing ever make any kind of hero out of that guy? No, they didn't. And incidentally, the Marab building in Oklahoma City went boom on the birthday, I believe it was, of Richard Snell. I communicated with him before he was executed. And so there's been a real racial struggle going on behind the scenes of all this bullshit that goes on VNN and what the hell's the other one down there? I'm telling you, one thing about getting older, I meet new people all the time. They've known me for 20 years. I heard a guy say that on the radio. That's not my original. But anyhow, but the new people immediately who get involved or supposedly involved are immediately shunted off into bullshit. So they don't really know the history, what went on, what's going on. They're just, we got to stop this abortion stuff, and we got to have prayer in school. We got to have all this stuff. And most of them are involved in the right wing, most of them even racial, in the Republican Party. They would never vote Democrat for any reason, even though it could be a tactical. There could be a tactical reason for doing it, especially in local areas. Like when I ran for Congress in California, I never could have got on the Republican ticket. So I said, piss on it, I'll go on the Democrat ticket. And it got us worldwide publicity. Worldwide publicity. But did old terrible Tommy get much respect from the leaders of the right wing? No, I was called a Bolshevik by the National Alliance, and behind my back they were trying to destroy me by sending their guys out to different groups around the country saying, stay away from that Tom Metzger, he's bad news, you know. And then of course the Duke operation, which I exposed all his porno deal and that stuff, you know, his manager, they're living in his house at $2,000 a month payment. One of the biggest porno operators in the Florida area, and he but he did stay over there in Louisiana, so I guess he was doing porno over there. You want the good, you want the information? I got it. I've had it all for years. Why do you think the right wing hate my guts? And now, since I so-called left the right, I resigned from the right wing and have moved into a lot of information, correct information from the left. And the right wing don't like that either. Well, that goddamn guy's a communist. I thought he was working for the Jews. I thought he was working for the FBI. I was talking to a guy last night on the phone I haven't talked to for a long time. And he said, are you working for the FBI? I think jokingly. And I said, well, if I am, I wish the goddamn guys would send me a check once in a while. They've been saying I've been working for the FBI for, what, 25, 30 years? I've never got a check, and I'm pissed off because they owe me lots of money. I give them all kinds of good information, right? And then he said about that lawsuit up in Portland, Oregon. I said, don't you know that Morris Dees made $7 million off that case? He said, I didn't know that. Well, I told people, I've been telling people that for years and years and years. Don't you ever clean your ears out? How do you know that? I said, well, I got his income tax reports for that year. $7 million. And the family of the dead Negro, they got hardly anything. He said, well, how about you? I mean, did he get you? I said, well, look, I lost my house. I lost my little one-man business for a while, and like that, but I said, now you figure this out. We were taking in about $25,000 a year, my wife and I. $25,000 a year, because my wife was a stay-at-home mother, and we had 6 children. So you tell me how Morris Dees could have gotten very much blood out of this old turnip. Well, of course he didn't. He got a little bit, but not much. But guess what? The right wing was right there to accuse me of doing all kinds of stuff and working for Morris Dees, and I gave him millions of dollars of your right wing money and all that kind of shit. So if you hear me saying nasty things about the right wing, I think I've paid my dues. That's just the beginning. I haven't even really touched it. So I can tell all the right wing leaders, now there's a lot of misled young people especially that get into the right wing. They just don't know what's going on, and none of these leaders are going to tell them because the fix is in. So I don't blame them. But after they research it, they should change their way of thinking. But you see, what is it? All these big websites and chat rooms and all that, which obviously are, well, there's all kinds of agents hang around those chat rooms. And I'd get awfully bored if I thought I was, if I was a FBI man hanging around chat boards, because most of the talk is just utter bullshit. And then trying to decide who's the Jew that's infiltrating them and who is the FBI agent that's infiltrating them, you know. Or who's the homo? I know that guy's a homo, man. I've known he's a homo forever. And I always say, well, did he play with your Peter? Well, no. Well, how do you know he's a homo? My son and I both used to laugh whenever they call somebody a homo. I say, well, did he ever play with you, Peter? Well, no, not really, but I heard. I heard. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Now, let me say this, that a lot of blacks know exactly what's happening. And, of course, I remember the right wing being all happy that they were, CIA was selling drugs in a black community. A few of them saw it bad, but most saw it as a good thing. Anything bad happens to blacks, it's good for us. Well, that's not true, because they play us against each other. But there's a new movie out about a FBI agent or CIA agent or whatever he was. I don't have it right in front of me. Maybe I can get it up here. And he ended up being murdered, assassinated. That blew the story on this and underlined exactly what happened in this guns for cocaine operation and the concentration on distributing it in a black community. But like I said before, that was not necessarily the ploy. It was part of it. But these people knew that just the black community couldn't really finance that, the total program. So it being distributed in the black community, and they knew that massive amounts of white, middle class, Republican, Democrat people used to drive down to the ghetto to get their drugs. And so that was the way it went. Far more people, like I said, white people died of drugs than blacks. But they don't tell you that, and I don't think there are many right-wingers telling you that either. But those are the latest statistics. And, of course, it's not coming in much as much from Central America like it did, but it's coming in from Afghanistan. Heroin got real cheap because it's coming back, and it's being, the program's being supported by the military-industrial complex through the military servicemen. They're even out there. We exposed that a long time ago. They're out there cultivating and taking care of the cocaine and on government time, on your time, on your tax time. Yeah, well, I'm going to play a little clip once in a while here. I wish I had the time and the staff to check over this stuff and pick out the clips, and so I'd have them to do that in the show. But it's impossible. We're all working people. We don't have the time to do all that, and most of our associates don't have the time. They're working a regular job if they got a job, and it's rough. So anyhow, I'll play this little clip here about what was going on in the ghetto with the CIA.
To do something unprecedented, you remember? Went to Los Angeles and the director of the CIA. Flew from Washington to a community meeting.
Yes, Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters got in on it.
And a big pot of money. Did you know that?
No.
They gave that area $300 million, okay? And then they had ex-cops, one ex-cop, that challenged them.
Right.
Huh? Yes. They said, well, let me tell you what you all doing. Let me tell you what's going on. And so, consequently, the power of light. We leave here now and go to some big arena, pitch black, inside, darkness, and open the door. And there's
one. It's a long segment coming up, and I'll start taking calls. So put the headphones on, and then we'll and let's weave in the movie. What you saw, what you didn't see in the movie. The movie is Kill the Messenger. I don't know if they had this in the movie or not, but after the San Jose Mercury was attacked, Gary Webb was attacked. He wanted to respond to these attacks, which is his right as a journalist, and his own editors at the San Jose Mercury News. Wouldn't allow it. Yeah.
And the reviews were fabulous across this country. Not one of them called him crazy,
and he had additional evidence.
Yes,
he had additional evidence, and they wouldn't print it
at all.
Yeah, we'll come back your calls, and I've got a lot of folks, all people from New Jersey.
Something to look up real quick: the number one cocaine, heroin, drugged out state in America now is Vermont, 99% white, okay? The latest stats out of the Justice Department, they're not talking about black folks. I'm telling you how these things can get out of hand. The stats that came out 6 weeks ago, the Justice Department, there are more heroin, cocaine deaths, they're talking about white, in America than all your automobile accidents and homicides. Okay? That's in America. Now, all of it started from there, and like certain people thought, it was just in the black neighborhood. They was right across the board. We knew that here.
Right, right.
We knew that. See, people forget in those drug areas how many white folks come in their cars from the suburbs, huh? And pick up their coke, right. And that's the safest area. You think the area is safe when the cops? No, when them drug dealers, them CIA, FBI drug dealers is blocking off the traffic.
Now, let me tell you, how did the movie deal with this issue when you saw the movie? What was in the movie that caught your attention that you might have changed or that you accepted? I mean, just your initial reaction as you sat there and watched the movie.
Well, I'm looking at it through our eyes.
But,
I'm looking at it from that first phone call you made to me.
Right.
And I said, wow, man, this got to be big. Don't say nothing until I fly in, okay? I'm looking, and it was evidence he knew nothing about what was going on out here on the radio. He had nothing. Nobody could have told him that a black woman named Kathy Hughes, when the CIA and FBI got us busted, huh? Got us busted for being out there, and we were ready to bear it down, and all of a sudden they let us out. Because
open the door.
5,000 right. people had mm-hmm. gathered, headed to there.
Yeah.
You know? And I said, well, when I found out, I said to the CIA guy, oh, man, y'all really missed that. They was coming out to get some biscuits.
Perry from Texas. Hi.
Hey, good morning.
So that part wasn't even in the movie.
None of that was in the movie. None of that. You wouldn't have thought that you could do that because all the action that happened here, an ex-DEA agent, she brought us pictures.
Yeah, right.
In front of the DEA.
And remember the debate we had, Sherry? Were you at the Palm?
Yes, yes.
With Oliver North?
Yes.
Remember? And as a matter of fact, Larry King moderated that debate between myself and Oliver North.
That's right.
And we were sitting there with Oliver North, copy of his notebook, because Costa Rica had indicted him.
That's right.
He can't go to Costa Rica.
At all.
Yes. Go ahead, Perry.
Gary, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. Is it Terry or Perry?
No, it's Terry with the team.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, kill the messenger. You know, I saw you and Gary Wells and the DA officer Rick Rouse on that Montel Williams show. You had a little more hair then. But what I wanted to say was about, you know, history. You saw in the book, Mr. Gregory got the lights on. A little bit of history. Hidden Colors, Willie Lynch letter, and Kill the Messenger. All that sort of ties in together. And I would just, you know, appreciate if you would like to educate a little bit more of us on some of those theories there.
Well, somewhere, most of the stuff is like that. And now, the press now have to change things because so much information is coming through without them. So they'll go up to the brink and then switch it around.
All right. To the first-time caller from New York, let's... Thank you, Kenneth. You're on with here on the Madison Show. Dick Gregory standing by. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Dick Gregory. I love you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Madison.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Madison. You got the hard fight.
Thank you.
You two gentlemen are cut from the same cloth from Charles Hamilton Houston, Attorney Chuckaway, and Attorney Austin Maddox. And Mr. Gregory, thank you for your love over the years for Attorney Austin Maddox. A few organizations have brought Gary Webbin to New York City a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
He was part of a town hall meeting.
Right.
Headed by Ms. Treese Lee. And the statements that he was given is saying, it was chilling how the CIA and other organizations was following him. He was scared to eat the food in his house. And,
yes.
But hear him talk, and you could tell that...
Well, I'm going to stop you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to skip a little bit and go to the information... Yeah, the Republicans are using this voter fraud thing and riding it like a horse. It's all bullshit. There's hardly any voter fraud going on, but that just shows you how the right wing is led by the nose. I mean, the racial right wing, led by the nose by the Republican Party. The Republican Party, whites had this. I caught on to it way back, long before Reagan. That it was a scam. The Republican Party is a scam, and it's no friend of the white working people at all. It's the same old thing. It's dedicated to the well-being of the ruling class, if you don't mind me saying class, and it's also very much part of the military-industrial complex and all that bullshit. But they have tried... working down to the local level to give the impression, since the Great Southern Strategy which Harry, you should know what was going on if you know what happened in the Southern strategy that aced the Democrats out of the situation, and the rats in the Democrat Party destroyed the white working class situation. Anyhow, it was all a scam, and that's and still people have the opinion, most white people, that, oh, they're doing this for us, the Republicans. No, it has nothing to do with helping you, especially working people. The Republican Party has a veneer of giving you that impression. Of course, it's pretty much gone away now, but for years and years, what, 30, 40 years, they were playing you along, and all the time, the Republican Party is strictly for the Republican Party. They're not for anything else. And this voter fraud thing's a perfect example of how they, since the blacks tend to say, you know, there's hardly any voter fraud, well, automatically the right wing and the Republicans say, oh, yes, there is. There's all kinds of voter fraud. But in reality, it's simply a way for the Republican Party to maintain itself. If 100,000 blacks join the Republican Party tomorrow, they change their whole attitude. It's nothing but party politics. Got very little to do with race of anything. Now, if you want to really find out how it works, when you go to vote down there in Texas and you're in the military, just show them your military credentials. Oh, they're supposed to be able to let you, that's okay, come on in, private, go ahead and vote. Bullshit. In Texas, I don't know how it is in other states, your military identification will not allow you to vote. And the other scam is that they cause you to have to go get a birth certificate to prove that you're qualified to vote. You know, not your telephone bills or your credit card bills, nothing like that. You got to go get a birth certificate. What they don't tell you is, in a lot of areas, birth certificate costs you anywhere from $15-$20 on up to $70 just to get your birth certificate. And so there's the other scam. No, the Republicans, it's amazing. They've been scamming the working class whites by giving the impression that they're sort of anti-black. But that's all bullshit. It's all politics. And if they could get enough blacks to register to Republican, they would never say another word anywhere, no how, about blacks. Of course, they're doing that now because they are recruiting quite a number of blacks, but still the Democrats have most of it. Anyhow, that's you can't vote even if you're military and you have a military identification down there in Texas. That gives you an idea what it's all about. Here's another little tidbit for you as we go along. We're sort of piecing things together here today. That do you know the United States is 34th down the list of countries as far as minimum wage is concerned? Do you know that? 34th. We're 34th down the list. And they call this this great democracy? I heard one politician giving a talk, and he said, well, I get tired of hearing about this minimum wage thing. What we need to do is raise the level of pay throughout the country. Well, wouldn't increasing minimum wage do that? You can always do better, but here he's saying, we need to quit talking about minimum wage. And these poor kids could hardly afford anything. I talk to them when I go into, if I don't go in very often, but if I go into a fast food place, I talk to them. I said, I see you're working your ass off here. How much you making? And they tell me, and I said, strike the son of a bitch. Strike him. I tell them, once in a while I go to Walmart, and I always tell the greeter, strike, baby, strike. But that's how ridiculous it is. And there's no Republicans want to raise the minimum wage. None of them. And that's how that works. They say, well, that'll double the cost of a hamburger. Well, not if you tax the super rich that control 1% or control 99% of the wealth like you should. There'd be plenty of money for raising the minimum wage. And also, it's been proven that that's nonsense anyhow. That many business operations who have voluntarily raised the minimum wage have done better. Their employers, the employees don't, they're happier. They don't quit and go someplace else as much and so forth like that. So this property party, the Republican Party, and of course the Democrats are into it too, you know. They're bullshitting you. They don't give a shit about the white race. You know, they won't even talk about the white race. When I talk to these politicians or candidates around here, they know who I am. And they, some of them will talk to me. But they won't bring up the white race for any reason. No. If I say white race, they actually physically run. I had one candidate here for... What was he running for? Oh, a state senator. And we were doing all right talking about the economy because he's come from the Democrat. We were doing fine until we got to the point mentioning the white race, and man, he was physically out of there, physically gone, and looking around to see whether anybody heard what we were talking about. They're already in a concentration camp, these people. As far as that voter fraud is concerned, they've recently discovered there's more voter fraud among the Republican Party than a Democrat. Now, I don't know. Supposedly it's a valid investigation. So what's going on there? They recently found a woman on the Republican Party ticket that signed her dog up to vote. Yeah, signed her dog up to vote. Now let's go back to the Kill the Messenger, Gary Webb. He's a reporter. He wasn't an FBI agent. And about the Iran-Contra and that filthy rat, Ronald Reagan and North, and all the crimes that they were into. And, of course, at the same time, our people were monitoring and spying on the bastards down in MENA, Arkansas, which most of the right-wing leaders knew nothing about. Yeah, right. And just like they didn't know anything about the plans for the Watts riots. But some of us did. Yeah, right. Here we go.
Boy, because, you know, people said, you have a school today. I thought that was for me. Oh, really?
You thought your name was Christopher.
But let's go to this discussion, and the movie is out now. It's in theaters now.
In theaters now, yes.
Kill the Messenger, based on a true story of the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, yes. Gary Webb.
Yes.
This goes back to the mid-90s. Gary Webb does a piece for the San Jose Mercury News where he uncovers the CIA's role in importing huge, and I do mean huge
yes.
amounts of cocaine into the United States. There was so much of it that this whole thing of crack cocaine developed,
right.
Because cocaine used to be the drug of champagne,
yes,
of the rich and the
yeah.
wealthy. Now let me, and so they've done this movie, and of course what happened was weapons were, we know
before
for a fact.
We do that.
Yes.
I have to tell them how I was traveling.
I was just going to get to that.
Let me shut up.
No, I was just going to get to that. So this, I get a call. I'm on.
I thought you had forgot.
No. I'm on WRC.
How old are you? You can't lose your...
Sometimes it happens, but I've got half Alzheimer's. But I'm on WRC. So a caller says, have you seen this story online from the San Jose Mercury News called Dark Alliance by Gary Webb? And it's a series. So I'm reading it, and I'm going, this is crazy. I make phone calls to a bunch of people, particularly in the Democratic Party, because I'm thinking there ought to be an investigation. Everybody's in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention.
Right.
Members of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Right.
So nobody's getting back with me. So I said, let me call Dick Gregory. So I called Dick, and you say, get me the story. I get you the story. Next call I get is, don't say anything. Don't go anywhere. Just, I'll be on the next plane out. I'll be there. Now you can go from there because you were traveling. Everybody else was at the Democratic Convention.
So go ahead. The story.
Yeah.
The biggest myth about the story is Freeway Rick. Because for some reason, he's on these talk shows like he's a hero. Okay? He didn't know the CIA was behind it. That money he made, he didn't put in no kitty. That was for him. And then all at once it exploded and exploded. They thought it was nothing, but not all of L.A., certain parts of L.A. It was all over the country. Now, we found it out. We knew it, but now we got legal documents.
Yeah, we knew. I mean, the whole crack epidemic was everywhere. Yeah.
The whole piece. Right?
Yes, right.
And so he died, you know, not really knowing the role.
Gary Webb.
Gary Webb.
Right.
What he said, multiple gunshot wounds to
the head.
Suicide.
Suicide.
And so we kept getting more information and more information. And then we had some people that knew about it, the authorities. And so we wasn't going to jail and going to the Washington Post and the CIA and all that because of L.A., of some little snotty-nosed punk.
Named Rick Ross.
That
yeah.
thought he was selling crack
right.
as a hustle. He didn't know, and he didn't know it went across the country. So he went to jail. He comes out a hero, you know, for what? You know, and so consequently, the more we looked at it, the more we had more information coming, and the bigger our little thing got totally ignored. Not that we cared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Washington Post dogged us out.
Oh, we got dogged out by Walter Pincus, who was he writes for, well, a lot of people think he's former CIA.
Yeah, he is.
And he talked about the two of us, because I was on the air every day, I think for 90 straight days. That's all I talked about.
Yes.
4 hours, 90 straight days. I said, I'm not talking about anything else, to the credit of the management of the radio station.
Yes.
They go ahead. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Walter Pincus, and I think he's retired, Washington Post,
yep.
jumped us. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. All this. And then William Raspberry.
Yes.
Who, I love the brother. He's no longer with us. He's yep. passed away. He did, I never will forget, he did a column called Stone Soup. And I never knew what stone soup was,
mm-hmm.
but it's a parable
yeah.
that you make soup out of stone.
Yeah.
You know, people, but it's not real.
Yeah.
You think you're doing the right thing, but you're really not.
Yeah.
That, and he wrote that in sort of a offhanded way of criticizing us.
Yes.
We go out.
Criticizing you.
Yeah, thanks.
He mentioned your name more than mine.
But then we go to the gate of the CIA. I tell this story. People think I'm lying.
Well, first we went to the Washington Post.
Yes, went to the Washington Post.
And we told people on the show that stop by the grocery store and buy a sack of flour.
Right.
And we're talking about the little sacks. Man,
them brothers and sisters came with 10-pound sacks. I said, look, we're not making biscuits. We don't mind it because, you know, crack cocaine is white.
Right, right. So that's what the flower represented.
That's
the
what
cocaine.
The flower represented.
Right.
And cab drivers would come by and say, I heard you. And they'd stop to get their flower. So we put all over the Washington Post steps and doorways and the whole thing. And then we saved some to go out to the CIA.
Now, this is where it gets hilarious.
It gets hilarious. We go to the CIA.
Front gate of the CIA.
We have the
tape, the crime scene tape.
Crime scene. We put crime scene. Here's where the criminals are.
Yellow tape that says
tape.
Crime scene.
Yeah.
And wrap it around the front gate of the CIA.
And then we poured the flour all over the front yard of the CIA. And what did they do? They brought out the dogs to sniff the cocaine sniffing dogs. And I said, Joe, they're going to have some problems. We got so much of this stuff, they're going to sniff so much flour, they will lose whatever rhythm they had for dope. Every time they'll bark.
Every time a biscuit is made. Every time a biscuit is made.
They will bark.
I mean, they actually thought we had real cocaine, and we were spreading it on the front.
Now, that's how dumb they are.
Right.
Thinking we that dumb.
Yeah, right. That's right. Let's go back to, I want to bring this up because, once again, the arrest. That was the other.
It got so big, starting from that one voice, so big. We had civil rights movement people.
Joe Lowry. Mark Thompson. Right.
I mean, it was huge. And coming out the building, we was trying to get in to take these documents.
DEA. It was to the DEA.
DEA.
Right. And we had Doc from, and we even had an ex-DEA agent.
With pictures.
With photographs.
Of the drop.
That's right.
Of the drop. The name, the number on the plane. On the drop, and it was so incredible. And then people welcome to, I'm so worried about us killing y'all. I said, did y'all did that yesterday, didn't you? I mean, if my memory's right, I thought I was killed yesterday. And the reason, you know, we didn't get no insurance money, because that's when black folks started saying homecoming, you know,
homegoing.
I said, white insurance companies pay off on a death certificate and no home going.
1-866. I'm going to open up the lines. 1-866.
Well, that's some of the side issues. Not a lot of it, not really very important. But still, there were blacks out there trying to bell the cat on this narcotics thing with the Contra connection and Ollie North and all those people. And there at the last, you heard him talk about the drop from the airplane. So, evidently, Gregory and some of these people knew about the deliveries. I don't know, they knew they were out of Mena, Arkansas, and of course with the complete cooperation of Bill Clinton. You wonder why he's loved so much? he allowed the security drop for all that cocaine coming in and landing at Mena Airport and being unloaded while our people watched. But I don't think you'll find in this movie they're going to have about Kill the Messenger. I want to see it, but they'll never make a connection with our forces and our involvement in the thing. But it's quite interesting. Oh, one other point I forgot to mention that not many people know. The Bob Matthews Arab connection. Yeah. way back. The Order had their connection. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but they did. And I don't know who's alive that knows about it, but I know about it. Now you can hear a little bit about it, see a little bit about it with the Race and Reason TV show, when I had the son of the ambassadors from Egypt on my TV show. Of course, they were not ambassadors anymore, but that was their son, Muhammad what? I think it was Muhammad Yaqi or something like that. I didn't look it up. But anyhow, there's a lot on that show. I wonder how many right-wingers ever even watched it. I wonder how many right-wingers watched any of my shows. From 1983 on, producing television shows with dozens and dozens and dozens of guests. And then they wonder why the right wing is so stupid. I wonder how much of the right wing watched Dr. Poinsett's show. Well, I'll tell you, probably a lot of them, because Dr. Poinsett put that big swastika behind his desk and went on and on about the great Hitler and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of those guys really eat that shit up.
Here's an unusual uber-rich guy with an unusual message for his fellow 1% of the 1%ers. Nick Hanauer, who made billions as an internet entrepreneur, recently wrote in an open letter to other uber-richies that, quote, "The true job creators are middle-class consumers, not rich business people like us. America is dependent on a strong middle class," he says, "for it's their purchases that power the economy," noting that, "I earn about 1,000 times the median American annually, but I don't buy thousands of times more stuff." He points out that his family has 3 cars, not 3,000. So, Hanauer says, it's in the self-interest of America's corporate and financial elites to do all they can to lift wages, starting with a $15 an hour minimum wage. The old claim that paying workers more will destroy small businesses and halt job growth is simply not true, he says, adding that it's insidious to claim that helping the rich get richer is good for the economy, but helping the poor get richer is bad for it. Hanauer points out that, quote, "The 2 cities in the nation with the highest rate of job growth by small businesses are San Francisco and Seattle, which also have the 2 highest minimum wage levels in the country." To the coke-headed ideologues who say any minimum wage is just too much big government, this member of the Billionaires Club says the soundest way to shrink government is to decrease the need for it. Pay decent wages so people don't need food stamps, rent assistance, and other subsidies for life's basics. This is Jim Hightower saying, Hanauer concludes with this sobering warning to obtuse billionaires. No society can survive the glaring inequities we are building into the American economy. Stop these futile low-wage policies and bridge the widening divide, or, quote, "The pitchforks are going to come for us." You can reach Nick Hanauer at nick@secondave.com.
Well, have you ever been tasered and then got stupid? Being tasered may affect ability to exercise your legal rights. After they have been hit by a taser, most people experience a significant diminishing in their memory and cognitive functions for up to an hour, according to an unpublished study discussed in Live Science. The researchers said that the impacts were serious enough to raise into doubt whether people who've been tasered will understand their legal rights during any subsequent police arrest. Quote, "In order to give up your right to remain silent, which would allow the police to question you during that custodial interrogation, you have to be able to give a knowing and valid waiver," unquote. Robert Kane, director of Criminology and Justice Studies program at Drexel University, told Live Science, "You have to be of sound mind, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to understand the consequences of talking to the police. In short, 14-5. Don't talk to them at all." I think I mentioned this yesterday. The election, this in-between elections, cost nearly $4 billion in what the Center for Responsive Politics projects to be the most expensive midterm election ever. Total campaign costs this season will approach $4 billion with a B. This figure exceeds the cost of congressional elections in 2010 and 12, which were both approximately $3.6 billion by an estimated $333 million. The marked increase in outside spending from the super PACs and 501c groups has contributed significant amounts to this unprecedented surge in midterm election campaign finances. There you go, boys and girls. You got the best government that you can afford to buy. That's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Saturn's Day. We'll probably have a Sling Blade show on tomorrow. Just remember, 14-5.
Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Little things mean a lot. Give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. Little things mean a lot. Don't have to buy me diamonds and pearls, champagne, sables, or such. I never cared much for diamonds and pearls, 'cause honestly, honey, they just cost money. Give me your hand when I've lost the way. Give me a shoulder to cry on, whether the day is bright or gray. Give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. For always and ever, now and forever, little things mean a lot. Give me your hand when I've lost the way. Give me your shoulder to cry on, whether the day is bright or gray. Give me your heart to rely on. Send me the warmth of a secret smile to show me you haven't forgot. That always and ever, now and forever, little things me.